Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. This is my destiny. All right, so today on the podcast. Your attention is under siege.
Oh my gosh.
This is one of the biggest topics at MIG that we talk about all the time, David Bennett.
Yes, and it is.
This is going to be a rapid fire podcast. You're probably going to have to listen to this a couple times. I am overly excited. Like, this is going to be a top five topic. Moving forward for many people who are trying to cut through the noise of everything that's out there. In fact, I'm going to give you a homework assignment, David Bennett. We didn't talk about this. I've been giving clients this homework assignment over the last couple of weeks. It's watch this movie called Buy Now, A Shopping Conspiracy on Netflix. It sets the stage for what I'm about to talk about. None of these details are in the Buy Now series, but the Buy Now conspiracy movie, but it sets the stage for it. So let's just get into it, man. In 1980, there is a president called Ronald Reagan. And in the 80s, we had, there's a thing called a bounce rate in impressions. Okay, so the bounce rate means when the American president gave a speech, that speech would resonate with the American people for 30 days. That was the bounce rate. All right, and then most impressions that were out there were really 300 impressions. So the average American was being hit with about 300 impressions a day. You know, companies want you to buy their toilet paper, toothpaste, mouthwash, deodorant, cat food, cat litter. It's organizations want you to buy their stuff. If I fast forward,
go ahead. Hold on. So in 1980, we're talking about mediums in terms of television, newspaper, magazines. I guess put that as print media. So print media, television, and probably radio, right? Those three?
Yep. ABC, okay. NBC, and CBS. Those were the three broadcast stations. That's going to be important moving forward. These are the broadcast stations. You know, we were watching, the shows back then were Eight Is Enough, Brady Bunch, Sanford and Son, you know, and everybody was getting fed the same programming.
Yeah, your favorite show, Gossip Girl, hadn't come out yet.
Exactly. If we fast forward to 2008 when Obama was being elected, okay, the gross impressions went up to 3,000 a day, and the bounce rate was 2 days. If I fast forward to 2025, the bounce rate, you ready for this? 1 hour. 1 hour. And now the gross impressions are up to 21,000 impressions a day.
Wow.
So your attention is under siege. Everybody wants you to buy their stuff. We are highly distracted as a society. We are ADD society. We're reading at a very low percentage. We're certainly not reading our Bible. Less than 1% of evangelical Christians read their Bible on a daily basis. Less than 1% give on a weekly basis or attend church. It's getting offline a little bit, but we simply, our attention is at war and we don't even know it.
I think one of the things that probably jumps up to most people is when they have a conversation and all of a sudden they see that product jump into their feed in social media.
Yeah.
And they're like, I didn't even search for that. And all of a sudden there it is, regardless of the social media platform. It's there because, you know, everyone's trying to figure out the algorithm of me or the algorithm of you.
Yeah, the retargeting is unreal what we can do now from retargeting perspective. When you see something, you know, it takes an average person, a male, 17 impressions for a buying decision. A female is 15 impressions. So as a person who is, or as a company who's looking to bring you into their ecosystem, they know they need top, middle, and bottom of the funnel impressions and retargeting. And we know that they know your attention is under siege. So it's a matter of spending, you know, in enough money to get in front of you those 15 or 17 times. So your personas are very, very tight. Your interests are very, very tight. This is why the TikTok algorithm is so awesome. I think it's awesome because, you know, it's the scroll now that the retargeting is happening instantaneously. Whereas before with Facebook and Instagram, it was, you know, it would just show up when it optimized. Mm-hmm. This is why the TikTok is such a great algorithm, that it just engages your dopamine levels on a whole nother level. It keeps you there and keeps you numb because of that pleasure that comes out of that dopamine, that pleasure, feeling. And so this all plays a part in the two tenets of a human being, which are the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we want our stuff now. We want it super easy. And companies are delivering that. So the question then becomes, from a Christian organizational level, so if you're a Christian leader, or, you know, I would say PVP, EVP, executive vice president, vice president. You know, if you're in the space of trying to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and build your brand, the question becomes, how do you persevere this tsunami of impressions? 21,000. It's hard to get your brain wrapped around that, right? Wow. 21,000 impressions a day. And so what you have to do is you can't compete financially, usually. There's only a couple of Christian organizations in this country or in this world that can compete on a Geico level, where, you know, they're spending $300 million a year in their ad spend. That's not even the organizational revenue. So you can't realistically keep up with the spend. But what you can do is find the tip of the spear in the messaging. That's what you can do. You can get real targeted in your messaging.
So from a messaging perspective, what drives somebody to make that purchase? I mean, I know you just talked about pleasure and pain, but what do you see from the level that you sit at? What do you see that drives that?
Well, there's a couple of things there. You got to understand your persona and who you're trying to reach. So whether it's a male or a female, whether it's, you know, from a Christian perspective, whether a seasoned Christian or new Christian, you know, you got to understand your persona, your target audience, your avatar of who you're trying to reach. And so when you understand that, and in that space, it's not just their age and their income, you know, whether they're married or single, you got to really understand interests. So I know David Bennett is a seasoned Christian who loves Israel. Right? That I know you read your Bible. And so if I know that, right, I can come to you with different messaging than I would if David's not a Christian. And so you got to start there. And you don't have the financial freedom to be able to hit both targets.
Right.
So the first thing is you have to decide on who is going to consume your organization, who would be interested in consuming the information, and who would want to get involved. So if it's a first time guest, if it's a donor, if it's a purchase of a video series, you know, it's understanding the positioning, who you're talking to.
Yeah. So, all right. So let me throw one at you that's been all over social media, and it's grown over the last couple of years. And the time of the year we're in right now is when it is one of the times where it is flexing, is Halo.
Halo. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. It's the whole State Parade up. It's Mark Wahlberg. They've added Chris Pratt. They've added a few other celebrities. You see it all over social media. Hey, prayer makes a difference. And, you know, he'll do the Catholic cross and say, stay prayed up.
Yeah.
Stay prayed up. Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus on The Chosen, is in there too. So they're hitting different sides of the denominational spectrum, whether it's Catholics, Protestant Christians, what have you. So in order for them to make noise out there, you know, is it they needed a spokesperson, they needed Mark Wahlberg, or what did they actually have to do to get this thing going?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So influencers are huge. You know, I've been buying media for 24 years now. So I remember back in, you know, from 2000 to 2010, like we talked about earlier, was what we call legacy media now. So legacy media is, you know, your broadcast media. So you only had, you know, you had television, radio, direct mail, newspaper, but television was undisputed heavyweight champion when it comes to reaching the most amount of people for the least amount of money. It was the medium to use. In 2013, digital came on. Okay, came on the scene. And I can confidently say this, every television station and every DMA, at least television group, has now a digital department. And I remember years ago having conversations with the GMs of the television station saying, don't get in the digital, man. You guys suck at doing television. Just do television really well. Stop selling me spots and really understand my target audience and bring to me somebody who understands psychology of who we're trying to reach and do creative really well. Don't get in the digital. But what do I know? Digital was just too big of, it's just too big of a revenue opportunity. So every television station ownership has digital now. Okay. And so digital came on the scene, but even before that we had cable. So it went from broadcast, three stations. And I think some of us can remember when we had Fox TV. Remember when Fox came in? Oh my gosh, Fox, yeah. The new kids. Cartoons at prime time, The Simpsons. Are you kidding me? Yep. Like, that'll never work. Yep.
And then the NFL, right?
And then the NFL.
That was a huge contract for them.
Huge contract for them. And so Fox came on, and then we had satellite. Or first we had cable. And so cable went from three stations to four broadcast stations to cable, which is over 600 stations, right? And then satellite came in and it became less of broadcast and more of, you know, instead of watching ESPN, you could watch the racing channel or the hockey channel, right? Mm-hmm. You just watch your specific sport. So we've gone from this broadcast down into my personal interest. And I remember, you probably remember this too, one day we said, you know what, VCRs were going to go away. Appointment television go away. You'll just be able to download whatever programming you want.
Do you remember TiVo?
TiVo. Yes.
Come on, man.
Redbox, CDs, DVDs, like all that went away. And so now here we are, 2025, 21,000 impressions. And so how do you cut through the noise? This is getting to the answer to your question. You cut through the noise with a trusted person, i.e. an influencer.
Mm.
So this is where your halo comes in, where you've got Mark Wahlberg as a influencer, not even like a Christian influencer, just somebody who already has a audience who believe in him, who trust him, who like them. And so I know what M is good. Like, we look for influencers for every brand now, because it's so hard to build trust with generic television commercials. Like, we've come so far in the last 5 years in understanding how to reach people and how we can get conversion to happen.
So in other words, though, an influencer is a spokesman, right? A spokesperson.
Yeah.
Okay. So then one of the things you talk about is this idea of an attention merchant.
Yes.
How does that influencer play into this idea of an attention merchant? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. Yep. So it's somebody who can grab your attention, who can hold your attention. Like we're using Halo as an example, Mark Wahlberg. He allows us to say, what's he doing? It's Mark Wahlberg. Like, he's a merchant of the brand. And so, okay, so what is he saying? Now I have to go trust the brand. So I would say that looking for an influencer who can rep your brand is important. But you're also, your digital funnel is important too. Your call to action is important too. Like, as Christian brand stewards, we have to be super pointed in the messaging. We have to understand a hero villain analogy. The fastest way to get to somebody is to position yourself as a hero in their story, in the donor, the first time guest, the donor, you know, the person who's buying, like, buying the product. There's a slogan we use as well that says, this came out of StoryBrand, where, you know, the organization is no longer the hero, the client, the donor, the first time guest. They are the hero. The organization is their guide. I would highly recommend you rewind that and listen to that again. If you're a Christian organizational leader listening to this, it's so important that you take your first time guest, your donor, you know, your customer through a VIP experience. That's super important. Let them be the hero of your brand. You are not the hero of the brand. So when we talk about we talk how old we are, how long we've been around, you're the hero, man. You got to look at the product, who's consuming it, and allow them to become the hero and the VIP of the brand and get their feedback if you think it's not working or it could be better.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. Because at the end of the day, if you do that right, you can successfully compete against this onslaught of impressions.
You can begin to have a chance. How about that?
Gotcha. Because today, I mean, there's got to be, and I'm sure you feel it, and if I think about it, I probably feel it too. Like, at the end of the day, the physical day, you probably feel some level of fatigue because you're taking in all these impressions, right?
It's exhausting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This is where, you know, we have a process called the buying vision. And so we look at, how do you get yourself out of a commoditized conversation? Because if you're commoditized, you're available, you're there. So the example I like to use is Bayer. Bayer was on the shelf of all the other aspirins, and they rebranded themselves as the non-aspirin aspirin, which makes them an aspirin. So how do they get on how do you get yourself on a different shelf? How do you build a why change conversation with your brand? How do you use the gospel of Jesus?
Yeah.
Right? To position yourself without being too Christian, but also delivering messaging that works. So the way I look at it, man, is it's definitely, I don't know, have you ever walked on a tightrope?
No.
I have. And when you walk on a tightrope, it's really, really hard. In fact, you need somebody to hold your hand as you're walking because it's so delicate. You know, just a slight shift in your weight in one direction, you're going to be off the tightrope. And you can kind of warm up to it too. Like you can use almost like a fireman's hose and tighten that down so it's a little bit wider. It's not actually like a real skinny rope. It's a little bit easier. My point of that is, when you're navigating the gospel, you're navigating your product and you're navigating the market, it's a tightrope.
Yeah.
So you've got to find that messaging that resonates. And so the example I like to use is when we got into COVID and we came out of COVID, the church hero villain, the hero was community. The villain was isolation. So we use that messaging to say, come do community with us, right? It's time to stop being isolated, do community with other people that are also chasing the same passions and desires you are. You know, that messaging cuts through.
So, okay. So then how, when you, I'm trying to think through the folks that are listening to this, and I do have something to ask you then. How much is it the messaging, and how much of it is being innovative and trying to create something different that maybe meets a need better?
It's a tightrope. It's a balance. It's an A-B test. You know, A-B test is code for marketers for like, hey, we need to think if we have to see if this works before we spend a bunch of money at it. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got to test the messaging. You got to find that certain balance so you can walk across the rope. So it's that, man. It's the messaging. It's the imaging. It's how long is your phrases on your ad spend, you know, on your actual copy in the ads. Like, it's a balancing act.
So let me ask this another way. Do you believe you can be innovative but have bad messaging and not see the results you want? And then can you have good messaging but not be innovative and just kill it? Do both of those, is there truth in both of those?
There's truth in both of those, yeah. And what messaging you think is going to work probably won't.
So, all right. So let me use an example of something where I would guess the innovation outweighed the messaging. And it was talked about in this book by some Harvard business professors, you know, W. Chan Kim and Renee Mauborn. And the book is called Blue Ocean Strategy. I'm not sure if you've heard about it. And yeah. Blue Ocean Strategy, right? It talks about
the beach.
There are red oceans and there are blue oceans, and the red oceans are the bloody oceans. And you think of an example of like car manufacturers, right? They're all fighting for the same couple dollars. They're all cars, you know, but you talk about somebody that creates a blue ocean, and they had an example of the circus where back in the day when you and I would go to the circus, it was Ringling Brothers, it was Shriners, it was Big Apple Circus, and they were all the same. They all had a lion. They all had a lion tamer. They all had trapeze. It was the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, Cirque du Soleil is born. And Cirque du Soleil doesn't have to charge $25 like all the other circus ones did. They charge triple that or quadruple that because they created a different experience through innovation where the circus was completely different. You know, and the experience for the paying customer was completely different. Now, did I experience an onslaught of Cirque du Soleil ads? No, at all. It was so innovative that word of mouth spread, and that's all people wanted to do is they wanted to see, when they went to a big city, they want to see, is Cirque du Soleil there? Or they want to go online and see, where are they? I would want to go check it out. Like, people go to Disney Springs in Orlando, there's a permanent Cirque du Soleil location there that you can go to. And that's creating through innovation a blue ocean. But what I have to think is like on steroids is when you are innovative, you create something meaningful, and then you have killer messaging and you put it together and magic happens.
Yeah, this is where, you know, you would see that engagement goes up. You know, your aided versus unaided awareness goes up. You can see all that. You know, your engagement in terms of people talking about it, like, you know, it's definitely the analogy I like to use is like, you know, when you go to a water park and you see that bucket of water like filling up in the bucket, but you don't see, it's not the bucket, you can't see where the water's at, so you don't know when it's going to tip over. And so what you're talking about is if you're able to create that lightning in a bottle, kind of, so to speak, that bucket tips over and, you know, it goes viral. You know, where you're having reviews, you're having word of mouth, you know, you're now not purchasing all the media spend. It's happening for you. Yeah. It's really, really hard to do that. Super rare, not impossible.
It's super rare, but how many clients have you had over the years that think it's a whole lot easier than they realize?
Yeah, a handful.
Who think, oh yeah, we'll be fine. We'll do this and it'll go viral and it'll be great.
Yeah,
and then they're disappointed when it doesn't go viral and they can't figure out why.
Yeah, totally. When you hit, I think it's mechanically, it's sort of easier to understand your audience and what they want. And I'll tell you that, like, a lot of the messaging that's working for us is really simple, man. Like, let's win. It's never been easier to win with Dave Bennett. Click here to learn more. Like, it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the avoidance of pain and the pursuit of pleasure? Like, yep. It's like, hey, yeah, I want to win. Oh, wait, you know, I have to do something. Okay. Maybe not so much, but, you know, we can get that conversion to happen if you keep the messaging simple, but also juxtapose it over the hero villain scenario. Like, find some heroes, find some villains that work, put them together, build a story, and then take that story to your avatar and see if it resonates with them. That's how we get through the 21. Oh, I do want to say this. I just want to say this. The Christian brand out there, a lot of times, people, if you're listening, it's not your product. Like, it's just not. You have a good product and you're challenging, like, what is God going to have me do? And my product isn't selling and I'm so frustrated. Was I supposed to do this? Do we change the product again? I'm here to say that it's probably not your product. When you really think about the 21,000 impressions that are coming at you, it's an impression game. You're not positioning your company, your organization, your product, good or service in the space where people have a choice. You know, it frustrates me when I go to somewhere like Best Buy and I look at a product on the shelf and I go, this is not the best product, right? But it's the product that's in front of me.
Yep.
And so I purchase it knowing it's
power of proximity, right?
Yeah. So I just want to encourage you all out there that it's probably not, it could be your product is a mess and the top of the funnel messaging is probably not there. And that's where we could use an influencer to help you out, right? In the case of Halo, you know, those guys aren't doing anything with the product other than saying, check it out.
Yep.
And so somebody put them there.
Yep, exactly. Now, let me ask this question. There might be some pastors, especially that are listening, going, how dare you call what we do a product? You know, are there any, as you think about capturing attention, are there any kind of ethical considerations that have to be made or that you have to think through?
Well, I'm very much against JE dollar sign U dollar sign. You know, I don't want to use the gospel in that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I have been doing this for 24 years and I've stood up over 400 brands. I, you know, kind of position myself as a Christian brand builder, you know, and I don't want to do that. So I think you have to get down into the nitty gritty of what your product does well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not necessarily how to use the scriptures and position Jesus differently.
Yeah. Like, what has God called your community to do that's different, unique, and special?
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to allow him to position you to help meet the needs of people that maybe aren't being met today in your community or in your circle of influence?
That's it.
You know, it's not saying it's not saying that, you know, it's hyper formulaic, but there is a bit of a formula to it. There is a bit of an algorithm to it. And that doesn't mean you're cheating God, right? It means that you're doing the best with what you got.
Yeah, I kind of want to give the master's level definition of what you're describing here, and then we'll power down here. Several years ago, we had a production facility. It was 17,000 square feet, and the offices were really cool. We had me and my VP, Jason, we had built out the whole layout of everything. And Jason's office was near a window, or it had windows for the one side. The whole wall was a window, and it overlooked the parking lot. And Jason was like a bird guy, loved watching birds. And one day I was sitting there, and I looked across the parking lot, and there's all these birds like pecking at the ground. And there was one gangly-looking bird. Like, it was taller than the others, and it had like this long neck and just looked like anemic. And I was like, Jason, what is that bird? He said, oh, that's an eaglet. It hasn't figured out what God's called it to do. Once it grows a little bit, it'll realize it's majestic and has talons and will, you know, sweep down in a lake and pick up a fish. But right now, it doesn't know what it's doing. And the reason I'm bringing that story up, David, is because, like, it's so cool when we see what God created us to do, when we see other things that God has created to do, we look at that and go, man, that is really cool.
Right.
That is awesome. Right? When you see that eagle flying, you go, wow, that's a majestic bird. That's so cool. You know, the eagle doesn't come down and say, hey, Dave, open up to Romans chapter 10, verses 3, and let's read the scripture. Let's read the Bible. You know, it just does what God's called it to do. Right? And so when you create a product, good, or service, just create it really well. So people go, man, this is an awesome product. What is it? This is an awesome service. What is it? Man, I donated to this organization. It's awesome because they connect with me. They show me. They invited me in their community. Like, I feel so empowered to be around them. This is where we're missing it, man. We create a product. Go, well, Jesus is going to take care of it. Like, it'll be okay. If it's gonna grow and sell, then God will just make it happen. Wrong. It doesn't work that way. You got to work. You got to ask your audience. You got to test. You got to create messaging. You got to put it out there, get feedback, change. Like, it's who moved my cheese, man? Like, you got to work.
Dude, it's Truett Cathy. It's Christian Chicken. It's Chick-fil-A.
That's it.
Make it as awesome as you possibly can.
And so the non-Christians are going to Chick-fil-A, not because it's not Christian or they're being beat up by, or not being beat up by the word of God. It's because they make great chicken.
Yeah, man.
And the customer service is awesome. Same thing with Hobby Lobby.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's where we need to go, man. Create killer messaging. Pierce through. I have this visualization that your attention's under siege, and I see this ginormous tsunami coming on the beachhead and just wiping everything out. You know, and that's what's happening to us. I will let's end with this. I will say that going to geek out on you here a little bit from a brain perspective. When your brain is over capacity, it really can't absorb. That absorption rate is at 14%. That's when you start taking things in and understanding things. Today, with 21,000 impressions, the absorption rate of the human brain is at 87%.
Yeah. And this brings you back to, if you're listening to this, go check it out. But this brings you back to the whole thing Carlos Whitaker did last year. I don't know if you've read about this, Dave. He was a former worship leader guy, turned into more of an influencer, podcast, stuff like that. And he went out and lived out away from regular culture, left his family for 7 weeks. And had no screens. And then came back, did a bunch of cognitive testing. And the gains he made in mental capacity, mental retention, a lot of big areas were absolutely incredible. So go Google him, Carlos Whitaker, and see. He's got some stuff on YouTube. It's called Reconnected, How 7 Screen-Free Weeks Reshaped One Man's Life. And it is wild. He's been on some of the late night talk shows talking about it. It's very, as you can guess, countercultural. And the findings coming off of that, it's like the opposite of when Morgan Spurlock did Supersize Me, right?
Okay.
All right. And he ate McDonald's for a month.
Yeah.
This, you know, and his health went to crap. But like, this is the opposite, that when you take the screens away, it was absolutely wild. So I would encourage anybody listening, go check it out, because this really kind of backstops what you just said.
Mm. All right. We'll see you next time, ladies and gentlemen, men and women of God across the fruited nation. Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. Want to learn more about M is Good? Go to misgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.